William Booth is a criminal defense lawyer and a director of William Booth Criminal Attorneys. William, how is the lockdown treating you? Good morning.
Good morning, Africa. Yes, a bit different to normal, but lawyers are actually regarded as essential services. You have to get confirmation that you are a lawyer, and it relates to the proper functioning of courts. But at this stage, pretty much most lawyers will only be engaged with regard to bail applications, which are regarded as urgent matters. So the High Court is closed. There are judges on duty. There's a roster in that regard, but that's only for urgent matters. And then the lower courts, obviously, if people are being arrested either for contravening aspects of the Disaster Management Act or regulations under that act, you know, that's where they will have to appear in court, and lawyers would be able to assist in that regard. But for the rest, I suppose one has to work from home.
Indeed. To understand then some of, I suppose, the charges that will be faced by the 55 people arrested countrywide, only two of them arrested in Cape Town, which probably either indicates that we are a compliant city, or, as the WhatsApp message at the beginning of the hour suggested, the police here have not been arresting enough people. What charges would those 55 people be facing?
Well, look, one must start by looking at how this has all happened. So first of all, a national state of disaster has been declared. Then the legislation that's applicable is the Disaster Management Act. It's an act that was promulgated actually in 2002. And then regulations are promulgated in terms of that act. So various ministers, let's say the Minister of Education, the Minister of Labour, and in respect of movement of people, the Minister of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs, that's Dr. Zuma, then issues promulgation. So, you know, my advice is everybody should go online, Google Disaster Management Act, dealing with, you know, the movement of people, and you'll be able to see the act, and you'll be able to see what the restrictions are. So just basically, you know, if somebody is out of their place of residence, unless for the purposes of performing essential services, obtaining essential good or service, collecting a social grant, seeking emergency life-saving or chronic medical attention, they could technically be arrested for contravening the regulations. And the offences and penalties are also listed. And if you contravene the regulations with regard to movement, let's say you're out of your place of residence and it's not to go do essential shopping, or it's not to go to a bank, or you're not a person who falls under the definition of essential services, then you could be, if convicted, sentenced to a fine or imprisonment of a period of 6 months, or both the fine and the imprisonment. The fine isn't listed. So that will be up to the magistrate in front of whom you appear if you are convicted. And obviously you're entitled to apply for bail. So if you're arrested on a case where you're out of your, let's say you're down the road and you do not have reason to be there and you're not part of essential services, then you can apply for bail if you're arrested by the police or law enforcement and taken to a police station. Police then are obliged to fix bail for you at the police station if obviously they confirm that you do have a place to stay and all the requirements with regard to bail are kind of complied with, that you're going to come back to court. So that's in a nutshell what this whole matter is all about.
And once you have been arrested, I suppose bail offered, and you are lucky enough to return to your home and hopefully you adhere to the regulations, at some point you might very well need to make yourself available to a court of law. What would the NPA need, or the prosecution rather, need to prove in order for whatever charges you are facing to stick?
Well, let's you contravene the regulations. It's actually section 11B. So the contraventions are listed under section 11B 1 to 1 to 4. For example, if you are out of your place of residence or you're at a place which is listed that you're not supposed to be at, and it's quite, you know, it sounds all very technical, but it is fairly simple if you get the legislation. So the MPA will have to prove that you are out of your place of residence and you are not on your way to go and buy essential goods. In other words, you're not going to get medical goods, you're not going to get foods that are listed. And the type of foods that are listed, for example, animal food, chemicals, toilet paper, medical hospital supplies, basic goods, any food, you know, those are the items. So if you say, look, I'm actually on my way now, and to ShopRite or Pick and Pay or Woolies to go and buy food, then the state must prove that you are not on your way to go and do that. So, you know, the state has an obligation beyond a reasonable doubt to prove that you've contravened the regulations with regard to movement during the lockdown period. Or if you're on your way to a bank, let's say you can't do internet banking, you have to go into the bank, then the state must prove that you weren't on your way to the bank. So, you know, I would suggest that most people, as I think you mentioned to an earlier caller, keep, if you're going to a bank, for example, keep your banking details and your account details on you so you can prove to the police, hang on, you can't arrest me because I'm on my way to perform something that I'm entitled to do. Or I'm going to Woolies. I'm not sure how you're going to actually prove that you've got your carry bags in the back seat of your car that are empty. So you've got to kind of try and convince the police. And I think police have to be reasonable. They can't just go and arrest for any old reason. They must know that they've got a duty to establish that there's reasonable suspicion that somebody's committed a crime. As with any type of crime, let's say that's not the situation in the lockdown period.
And I suppose therein lies the rub, isn't it? Because it is almost going to be almost always at the discretion of either the police member or the traffic law enforcement official, or in my case, CCID, to then let you go on about your business, because you would need to convince them that you are, in my case, coming to work at 4 o'clock in the morning, as opposed to going to get on some shenanigans because I need to get some exercise in me. It is that moment, that point of contact between you and law enforcement that is critical, isn't it?
Absolutely. And in your case, Africa, you'd obviously have something from your employer.
Yes, I do.
To say that you do work, you know, and if somebody recognizes you, or if somebody recognizes me, well, you know, I'm on my way to court. But I actually have to have something to say I am a lawyer and, you know, that I can show. Or if you are part of essential services, there's actually a document that the employers have to issue to the employees. It's actually listed in the regulations as well. It's a permit to perform essential services. So the person must have that on them. So, you know, then it's easy to convince the police, well, hang on, you haven't got a basis to arrest me. It's maybe a little bit more difficult where somebody's on the way to perform, you know, essential shopping or going to the bank. You know, so that comes a little bit more problematic. But police must be reasonable. You know, if they find you on the top of Table Mountain, as you say, I'm going to Woolworths. Well, you know, I haven't got a car, but I'm walking across the mountain to go to Woolworths, Cavendish Square. So then it starts being a little bit, unreasonable, your explanation. So law enforcement must be fair and reasonable, as they have to be in all instances. Forget the lockdown, but particularly here, I think everybody gets a little bit maybe panic-stricken. Law enforcement might get a bit annoyed. I think everybody should just remain calm and say, listen, I'm doing this. Law enforcement must be fair towards the person they're pulling over, and then it'll work. You can't just have people being locked up, because you're going to be locked up in a police cell which is not desanitized. And let me tell you one thing. Police cells, prisons, courts are the worst places to be at this time. Please stay away if you can, because they are not being sanitized. And I can tell you that from experience. So, you know, I know a few lawyers in the past who've actually contracted TB because they were in close contact with clients of theirs at prisons. So, you know, that is where the problem lies. You're locked up, stuck in a police cell. Obviously, the police must release you as soon as possible. I mean, there's a directive issued by the Minister of Justice saying any people arrested for petty offences must be released and warned. That's by the police, and that must be done quickly. So if you're arrested for not being in your home and you're not on your way to go and do essential shopping or go to the bank or whatever, or you're not part of essential services, that I don't believe that is regarded. It's maybe seen as a serious offence, but what the Minister of Justice means by petty offences, that would really fall within that category. So they must be released as soon as possible. And obviously those people do go back to home and must be very, very careful to comply with the regulations. I think everybody must just find out what the regulations say, read it through, and it's easy to follow. And obviously the various ministers can change those regulations from time to time. They might say, well, now you can go and walk your dogs down the road. I mean, I think in Italy, where it's really hectic, I have quite a lot of friends there, some of them are allowed to, let's say, walk the dog to the end of the road at certain times. So, you know, it can change. The regulations may change. The ministers might change regulations to allow a bit better freedom of movement. I mean, if you're stuck in an apartment block on the 25th floor, yeah, it starts becoming really, really an issue. And maybe you've got a little dog, you know, what do you do then? So I think everybody's got to be reasonable who implementing the regulations, and the members of the public mustn't just be disobeying willy-nilly.
Which is key and very important. Parting question then from you, William. This is uncharted territory for South Africa. Certainly since the dawn of democracy, we've never had to live under this amount of restriction and freedom of, as far as our freedom of movement is concerned. These arrests, I suppose, anecdotally, and I don't know what you're going to be basing that on, are they there to really put the fear of the living God in everyone who's even thinking of contravening the regulations? Or do you think this administration is really going to see them through, where we might very well see people spending then 6 months in prison because they broke the regulations that have been defined for this period?
Well, look, you know, one would expect that they shouldn't necessary to have regulations, because people should realize, if you're looking what is happening in Italy and what has happened in China and happening in Spain, should really have the fear of God in them without the regulations and just not move around and not have contact and keep the distance. But unfortunately, people tend to break the law unless the law is clearly set in place. Or let me put it this way, if there's no law in place, they tend to go and try and do what they want to, even though the repercussions are very serious. If you contract this disease, it could lead to very, very serious illness and, in fact, death. So, you know, I think people must be very cautious, because I don't think the first time you're going to get arrested, you're going to, and if you're convicted and sentenced, you get to end up going to jail for 6 months. You'd probably get quite a heavy fine. But it's going to impact, because then there's going to be a second time, and it might be a third time. The lockdown period might be beyond the period of 21 days. So, you know, that's why people have to just be very cautious and comply with the regulations. I would have thought they don't, as I said, you don't need them. People should know that you don't go out unless you absolutely have to, and don't go to places, let's say, of entertainment. Anyway, they're all pretty much closed down. So, you know, if people are going to carry on not complying, you're going to clog up the courts. Where are they going to go? Are they going to go to police cells to be held after being convicted? Because maybe the prisons are saying, we're not taking any more people in. We've got enough people of our own who are there for very, very serious crimes. So I think if you continue and persist with this behavior, you could end up going to jail for a period of time, even if it's a few months, and you're going to really go to a very, very bad place, because nobody wants to go to Paarlsboro Prison or Goodwood Prison, certainly here in the Western Cape or any other prison. And, you know, because there you are in an area where you may be more prone to being contaminated than in any other place.
And that's a nice version of the conversation. William Booth, thank you very much for your time this morning. Criminal defense lawyer, and a director of cause at William Booth Criminal Attorneys. More of your calls at 021-446-0567. Stay at home. If you get arrested today or tomorrow, you probably will have to wait until Monday before you can apply for bail, should the members of the SAPS not offer you bail at the police station at the point of arrest. You may have to spend a weekend in jail if you choose not to follow the regulations that are currently in place.